where it always takes so, so much longer. Brothers and sisters, one of the biggest unmet expectations we have with the ways of God is His timing.
You get to a place where the promises in the Word of God don't even sustain you. There's nothing new to keep you. There's no new devotions. There's no new providences to get you excited. The only thing left to do is to persevere.
I looked it up on Google, and it said going to 10,000 feet can definitely be dangerous. The air up here just continues to get thinner. I feel it in my legs. I'm actually starting to feel a tinge of a headache.
Yeah.
I just can't wait to get on the road again. I just can't wait to get on the road again.
Yeah, we are definitely. They should rewrite the song for us, the band of Gypsies.
Gypsies, we go down the highway. We're the best of friends.
We all know the song, even though we've sung it long and hard, going down the road again.
That's the best I can do. I don't have the lyrics.
Before I create even more pain and suffering in your life with my so-called singing, I'd like to ask you to take a close and serious look at these four video clips and take note of the difference of how we are feeling. Long suffering has set in and brought the sentence of death and despair to our hearts on the left. And on the right, you see the joy-filled hearts, refreshed with the comforts of Christ, brought about by the power of His resurrection life over all spiritual death. The path between these two clips on the left and the two clips on the right is paved with faith and perseverance. Let me read the words of Paul again and see if you can see what he's talking about coming to life in these exact video clips. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that His life may be revealed in our mortal body. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort.
Okay, another thing that's pretty encouraging to me, shows me I'm making really good progress. I think I've reached around 8,800 feet or so, is that I'm starting to see some snow. And too bad I've got the poles. Too bad I don't have some skis. That almost looks like enough snow for me to have a little fun on. Go skiing over here. So that's an encouragement to me, seeing some snow. Hopefully I will end up seeing more on my way up. It's nice to look for these little things. All kinds of scenery changes as you make up the mountain. You begin to see different kinds of trees, different landscape, different soil types, different size rocks. There's all kinds of neat things to see on your adventure, and it's no different than with Christ. You'll never have any idea what you will experience walking up the mountain with Christ. You'll never imagine. He does more than we can think, ask, or imagine, and not always in ways that we like in the beginning. That's important to remember as well. Nonetheless, I've got another really steep section right here in front of me. In a lot of these videos, you can hear me huffing and puffing, breathing very heavy. One of the things that becomes very difficult, as you can hear right now, granted, I have just come from down there, which you can barely see, is the altitude. So I'm getting closer and closer. I'm probably at around 8,500 to 8,600 feet. Down at 7,000 feet, the oxygen in the air is already 25% less per breath than down at sea level. So even when you're trying to just have a normal everyday existence, not hiking up mountains, you are going to experience this extra suffering where you have so much less oxygen. By the time we get to 10,000 feet, it's 33% less oxygen I'll be getting per breath. It's interesting. It's actually still like 21% oxygen. Air, no matter whether you're at sea level or at 10,000 feet or at 26,000 feet, Mount Everest, it's actually all 21% oxygen. But the problem, of course, is the air pressure is decreasing as I go up, which means that there's less air per breath, thus there is less oxygen. So it becomes more difficult. So I'm really beginning to see some heights here. If you look behind me, in fact, let me just spin the camera around and you can kind of see how I'm making progress. And if we look, it's not the prettiest of days, but if we look right over here, there is my first view of Lake Tahoe. That big blue spot in the center is all Lake Tahoe. So I'm finally starting to see the lake. It looks a little bit hazy, so unfortunately it's not the best views that I have had in the valley. Looks a little bit hazy as well. But back to these sufferings. So inherent with the Christian life are these extra sufferings. And not having enough oxygen makes it much more strenuous, much more difficult. Not being able to lean on your flesh as a Christian makes it much more difficult.
Today is Friday, August 11th, 2023. It's about 9:35 in the morning. And Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, I have 4 full days left until Tuesday court. And I wanted to capture on journal in real time the fight of faith. I feel a vulnerability that I normally wouldn't expect, and that in times past I haven't. Let's face it, this has been a very long battle. Very long battle.
So another thing I find very interesting is that the higher up we go, the more the UV index gets difficult. And you need to have sunscreen on. And it can get to level 10 to 12, which is considered extreme when you go on the high altitude. And of course, the reason is because the air is cleaner. And although there's less oxygen to breathe, the air is actually cleaner. And the UV rays are able to penetrate more into your skin. And so it's actually damaging to your flesh, which I find incredibly ironic, because climbing with Jesus, living by faith, suffering to do His will, putting down your will, is damaging to the flesh, isn't it? It's very difficult.
I feel very low in energy again. I feel I'm not even wanting to do this journal entry, but that's why I'm doing it. So I, in the last few days in prayer with Lisa, have started to cry and asking God to get me relief that I've just suffered for so long, and it just never ends. And I find myself just going, God, how long can I go? And what I mean by that is the only person I can identify with right now is the prophet Jeremiah in Lamentations chapter 3. In the last 4 days, I've been reading slowly that passage. And I've been reading John Gill's commentary and been remarking on it to Lisa to show how incredibly it aligns to our exact situation. Like when he's talking about, he has walled me in and I cannot escape. And you see how it's a picture of a traveler who's been stopped. And you see me going to the airport twice and stopped. You see Gary and Layla said, hey, we've been trying to send you a donation for a week. Your donate button has given us an error. And so who knows if anybody else may have tried to donate, and we're running out of money. I don't make my finances known to anybody. And because of what Carrie and Taylor have done to the ministry, so few people are supporting it. And then God's calling me to a year off. I mean, he's put us into a place where we have peanuts and we're under tremendous pressure. The ministry is being held back. My passport's being held back. Now trying to get an attorney. I'm struggling to get an email and a reply to an attorney. My justice continues to be held back. No matter what I try in court, when I go there, I do not ever get a chance to speak. It's only what Carrie has brought up. And I've learned about that. This morning, I got led to Ecclesiastes 5:8, where it talks about when you see injustice in the land, or the poor are oppressed, and a man's cause is not brought forth in justice, don't be surprised, because there are different levels. And one translation, the NLT, speaks about there's a great deal of red tape and bureaucracy in the way, and that there are people, so that when a judge is making a decision, he's actually being influenced by people above him. And then the people above him are being influenced by people above him. And so you shouldn't be surprised when you see injustice against the oppressed in this land. And of course, because I'm trusting in God and what he says, I then become surprised when I don't get justice. So I'm going to jump back around, and I feel very, very tired. I feel very emotional right now. I feel like I am at the very, very end, and I've just been on fumes for so long. I read Jeremiah's story, and I say, you know, God, why did you do that to him? I am a man who has suffered a great deal, and I have been given such insights into suffering, and the Lord has given me such incredible revelation. But I get to a point where I read of what's happening with Jeremiah, and I don't understand it. I'm not able to make sense out of why the man of God has to be the one to suffer so much, and why his way is blocked so much. And of course, the only explanation that I have is the prophetic representation that his life was to what was going to happen to Israel, that as he was in captivity and so poorly mistreated, so would be his audience. To see this suffering go on like this is just extraordinary. And Lisa, she's wept in several of her recordings, and she's just like, everything is against us. And when I say everything, I just looked down at 8:56. It's the third time I've seen it this morning. I've seen an incredible combination, 8:22, 8:56. And that is both promises of 1 Kings 8:22 and 8:56, both of which talk about not a single promise of God's has failed. I've seen it twice today. Now I looked down. I've seen it 8:56 on the time, and I just looked down at 8:56. How I pray that's the case. But God, help me get all this out. I have so many thoughts, but Lisa's like, look at this. Everything's being held back. We can't even get an attorney right now to help us. We can't get justice in the court system. Every time I appear in court, I win, but I'm not able to say a word. Our finances are being held back. The passport's held back. Lisa coming here and me getting to go back with her is held back. The donations, you know, button is broken. I think I took a dive when I probably spent 3 hours yesterday sitting at a coffee shop trying to fix my own donate button. And put another one up there. And I just thought, you know, it just really, really just was like the straw in the that breaks the camel's back a little bit. And I'm just thinking, I can't even get money because my donate button's broken. People couldn't even send finances to me. And I know that Satan is doing everything he can.
So once again, let us not be surprised when we find these unique sufferings, you know, persecutions, less air to breathe in the nature, painful adversities to the flesh, perhaps altitude headaches, and stuff like that. It's actually quite dangerous. I looked it up on Google, and it said going to 10,000 feet can definitely be dangerous. I'm gonna have to stop and take a break. I'm actually starting to feel a tinge of a headache.
I'm just having a hard time this last couple of days, wanting out so bad, like, God, here I am, please, Lord, free me from this prison that I'm in, and clinging to grace and hope and praying. And it's the same thing every single day. And you're just absolutely stuck. And it looks like Satan's got you surrounded, and God is not hearing your prayers. And yet I'm being kept to keep moving forward in faith. And you have these moments of stark terror that try to get on you and say, you know, you're ruined, you're finished. And of course, I know that I'm not. I look at how many times I've been here, and I said, you know, maybe this is a picture really of what end times believers are gonna have to go through. And the Lord is trying to show a track record that this is how you're gonna have to persevere.
Okay, right now, it's all about perseverance. You really do feel pain, a lot of it. And you see the ground below you moving so very slowly. And then you begin to reflect on how far away the finish line is. And you have no idea. I have no idea how much farther I have to go. I haven't even looked. And isn't it true that we never know how much farther it is in the Christian life? And I find myself having a real picture in my experience here, climbing this mountain, watching these rocks and dirt beneath my feet move so slow, and my breathing so fast, as a picture of what it's been like so many times in my Christian faith.
You get to a place where the promises in the Word of God don't even sustain you. There's nothing new to keep you. There's no new devotions. There's no new providences to get you excited. The only thing left to do is to persevere. I mean, I cannot say that enough. The only thing you can do is stand. There is no more looking for a good news, looking for a good break, looking for a good devotion, looking for a good word, looking for a good dream, looking for a good providence. There's nothing. There's nothing that can keep you going. You're totally flat. You've pushed beyond your ability to endure such that you despaired of life. You feel the sentence of death in your hearts, you know, and you just keep going. Bottom line is, I'm in this situation where the only thing that can keep us going is perseverance alone, the grace of Christ to persevere against all hope. Abraham in hope believed. That's it. It's 100% perseverance. That's all it is. It's just, you just have to persevere. We have no feelings. We have no feelings of excitement. Like, I have no feelings of excitement about getting this deposit from this check, even though it's going to help us. It's like everything is being subdued. All the joy is being held back. And I'm wondering now, can I even get excited? Because I feel like I felt like I needed something to feel like we're getting something good and not just barely getting by. It's like we're always just barely getting by. And you get tired of that after so many years of living my life, man. I mean, I was even saying to the Lord this morning, I'm like, God, look what I had to go through with Persis in India. You know, just remember how much I've suffered. I just have to shut my mouth about it because it's so much that your friends send you pictures of little guys going around a little roundabout on a scooter in fast forward motions. And you have two friends who don't even know that they've done this, but one of them is like round and round and round we go. And the other one sends an actual image of this. And because they see that it's like, no matter what I do, I can't get out. You can't get out. It's Lamentations 3. He has walled me in and blocked my path so that I cannot escape. He's put a stone wall in place.
Where it always takes so, so much longer. Brothers and sisters, one of the biggest unmet expectations we have with the ways of God is His timing. Father is very slow, aren't you, Abba? For us, He's soon for Him, because time is different to Him. But for us, He is so slow.
Hewn stone blocks my path and you cannot get out. And so you have no other choice but to continue to humble yourself. But then you say, but Lord, we've already humbled ourselves. We've been doing this for years, Lord. And there it is. What's left? Perseverance. What's left? Habakkuk 2:3. The revelation waits an appointed time. It will come. It will not prove false. Wait for it. In its due time, it will come. And there it is. It's all about the issue of God's timing. The whole thing is the issue of God's timing. It's not that Satan is more powerful than God. It's not that God is powerless. It's not that God is displeased with us. It's not that God hasn't heard our prayers. It's not that it's impossible for me to get to New Zealand and to get free. It's not that it's impossible for me to get justice. It truly is an issue of God's time. And you end up thinking by God's providence and thinking by the devotions and thinking by the way He leads you to scriptures and passages and how you feel in your heart that, oh yeah, the time has come. And then it comes and it doesn't. And then it's absolutely devastating. And you have to repeat this over and over again. But I mean, I think to myself, Jeremiah's ministry lasted 41 years. And you look at how many decades he suffered and you see all the promises that God gave him and things he said would come to pass and they didn't. And you just, you just can't make sense of it. And you do the best you can to not grumble against God, to keep the faith, to keep going, and just get through the day. It's another one of those, just win the day, just win the day. But I feel right now, it's like you get so close and then it's a step back.
And there are times when you say to yourself, why am I doing this? Was it worth it? You know, is it worth it? Why am I punishing myself like this? I mean, look, I'm still all alone. It's a Sunday. Look, no one. You see? Absolutely no one on this mountain with me. There should be a lot of people on this mountain.
And then it takes the grace to put the flesh down, because that's not a message that the flesh wants to hear. The flesh wants now. It's the difference between passion and patience and Pilgrim's Progress. Patience is willing to wait. Passion wants it and demands it now. And we have that in us and we have to put it down. And so I've been finding this very helpful to help me even acquiesce to the reality that I've always believed that if I just obeyed enough, persevered enough, had enough faith, that I'd eventually reach some sort of promised land thing down here. And I can see now more than ever that's not true. Everything is difficult. Making this video is difficult. It's really interesting how suddenly it became much easier to do this video after I persevered and persevered. Eventually the hawk went away and there's not been a single ant that's bit me since. And there's only been one that's crawling on me and I'm not having a whole bunch of bugs on my ears. It's pretty remarkable. In the beginning, there was all these distractions. It's a picture of the need to persevere, and so many people quit. The Christian life is so much about perseverance. My life is, if anything, a picture of
stubborn, grace-filled, not flesh-willed, grace-filled perseverance.
Hebrews 10:35-36, so do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised.
This is Lake Tahoe, one of the most beautiful places in the world, right there. They're all down at the lake having a good time while I'm up here struggling all by myself. Have so much effort, so much stamina is required. And it reminds me of what the president of the National Skiing Association said about the inventions of ski lifts and how it impacted, you know, skiing and really brought it to mainstream America, to city folk. And whereas before, it was always reserved exclusively for people who were the adventurous mountain types or athletes. And he said that normal people didn't have the stamina to do skiing. And it's like that same thing can be said of Christianity. Normal Christians who are, quote, natural, carnal Christians like me for 20 years don't have the stamina, which is called faith. I saw a comment that showed up on YouTube just last night or this morning when I was talking with Lisa. I haven't looked at comments, and I just looked, and there was one about a person saying, Michael, I need help. I need you to be honest with me. This Christian life is just so hard. And Lisa and I are like, yes, it is. I've been trying to tell you guys this for a long time. And I have faith, but then I falter, and I just have this weak faith. Yes, it is so difficult to live the true Christian life. It always has been. The scripture makes it abundantly clear that's the case. Oh, that's not the case to this so-called Western garbage Christianity that's preached in these mega churches out here today, and the Western Christianity nonsense that people preach, this decorative cross nonsense. The cross we're carrying is bloody. It's difficult. Oh, it has its gold lining, as somebody like Samuel Rutherford would say. I see this, the sweetness of its work in me, but it is so difficult when you're in the moment dealing with it and persevering through it and waiting. It is so difficult to lose your life and to go against the grain.
Hebrews 12:1-3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart.
Lisa and I see that everything we're doing is going against the grain. When everybody else just keeps going on with their lives, and oh, they come up against an obstacle, you get an attorney, you go to the doctor, you find this professional, you go online, you get this friend, you get this money, you go to this scheme, whatever, you get it taken care of. We can't. We have to wait for God. Right now, we can't just go, oh, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go do this with court. I'm going to go do this with the land. I'm going to go do this with the home builder. I'm going to go do this with finances. I'm going to go do this with the ministry. We have to wait. And that waiting, being a total slave to the Lord Jesus Christ, constantly taking up your cross, denying yourself, doing the one thing that Jesus said you have to do every single day, take up your cross, or you're not worthy of being my disciple. That is what makes the Christian life so painful. And the difference between a person who can do it and a person who can't do it is the difference between a person who is having the grace from Christ and a person who does not. In the Christian life, stamina comes from grace. It's the power to go on the heights. Peter said, his divine power has given us everything we need to participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption of the world. It's his divine power, not ours. We don't have the stamina to be Christians, to climb this hill. Only Jesus can get us up these hills. But so many Christians set out by faith. They have a type of faith. They've read the Bible and they take a leap, believing that God will carry them through, provide for them, get them through the disaster. But then what happens is circumstances completely contradict the faith and they get crushed. Because either they're not persevering or they don't actually have a John 3:27 heavenly faith.
The great Puritan writers like a Thomas Boston, he always said, this is how you can determine whether or not somebody is a hypocrite or a Christian, by what happens when adversity strikes, the crook in their lot. I told Lisa, I said, I should be the worst Christian I am right now. I have a lawsuit that was delivered by a sheriff on the 10th anniversary of the last day I ever saw the children on August 3rd for me to appear in court on September 15th in Huntsville, Alabama. Two nights ago, a sheriff came and delivered another summons, perhaps to the one that I'm already going to here in Florida. All these accusations, friends that have been turning against me. Now I'm facing domestic violence charges. It's just shocking. It's very scary to think how you could be accusing somebody of that, and I could be appearing in court, spending thousands of dollars and time and money to come and do things like this, where there is absolutely no evidence whatsoever of that. There is no history of this in any way.
It requires that we all receive faith from God. Grace comes from heaven. It's a gift. We get it through humility. That's what enables us to go on the heights. Like Habakkuk said in his third chapter, 17 through 19, I believe, he speaks about how the Lord is his strength and he makes his feet like the hind's feet of a deer and he enables him to go up there on the heights. That's grace. That's what we need. And even if you have the grace, brothers and sisters, even if you're truly born again, sometimes it's going to feel like you're not. Sometimes God will test you. Sometimes God may even pull his grace away from you for a time, reminding you of how weak you are. Apart from him, you can do nothing.
We have had a few times where Lisa and I have wept. We've been frustrated and we've had to really fight against our nature to again want to accuse God of forgetting about us, forsaking us, not doing anything to help us. And when you look at the history of things that look like a door's about to open and then it gets slammed in your face, there's something so frustrating about all these almost open doors that then get slammed in our face. It's terrible.
And it brought discouragement. I said, nope, I am not going to lose hope. I'm going to hope all the way to the end until that plane leaves. That's when my heart's going to break. If that plane leaves without me on it, my heart will break. I mean, I'm not saying God couldn't do something after that, but I wouldn't have seen what the point of bringing me to this airport would have been if God was not going to get me on that airplane somehow.
Sweetheart, I'm sorry, baby. I haven't had a chance to listen to your message yet. You would not believe what I've had to go through since I've gotten off that shuttle bus, sweetheart. I'm not trying to be dramatic, but the machine for the carts were broken, and I just had to try to wheel 5 bags all by myself with a backpack on. It was just really, really something that should have been seen on YouTube. I didn't get very, very aggravated. I just got sad. I'm like, God, look at this. your servant. I'm suffering like just humiliation. The bags went flying and dropped. I tried to put them together, and the first bag fell, and they all went falling straight away. And I finally got them here. I figured out a way to kind of roll them, but now I got to figure out how do I get them from here to the car. The bag, the cart machine was broken, and there's no carts around. So I'm in trouble. But I'm just beat. I'm just beat. I'm really sorry, sweetheart. I'm very, very, very sorry. But I actually, there's a part of me that it's like really weird. It's like, you know when to quit. And then there's another part of me that feels like, you know, is it possible it's not over? That I just don't understand. I don't understand why God would have done all those things. And he's told us those several days where we hit, you know, the 21 days. I mean, we didn't get all of them, but we got most of them. And the 9/11 thing and all that and the 44,000, it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense at all. You know, I mean, now I'm like worried about the tiny house and, man, it's just horrible. This is horrible.
Austin Sparks' teaching from The Cross and the City of God, Chapter 3, Walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. Colossians 2:7. Abraham was in the land, yet the very promises given him of God seemed to be denied. Was Abraham mistaken? Are we not sometimes bewildered with the Lord, and are not his ways past finding out? It all looks such a confusing mess. But as faith holds on, one day we shall praise him, and we shall see the reason for it all afterwards. These mysteries of the way contain some secret mystery of God, and are they not another opportunity to show forth his wisdom and power? When all seems gone, the conflict so great, the experience so strange, and there is no key to the situation, we are tempted to question whether the promises were even of God to begin with. Everything is so contrary to what we expected, we begin to wonder if we were all wrong. Just then is the time for us to stand fast in the Lord and maintain that stand in faith. Many of us have had these similar experiences. There is a perplexity. There is apparent contradiction. There is terrible conflict. The forms of experience may vary, but it comes to all of us in some way or another. Still, quote, he will remain faithful, 2 Timothy 2:13. In these perplexing events, you're coming to a place where you know the mystery of God, and it is a glorious opportunity for him to show his wisdom, and so you are established, having been made strong in the faith. The entire matter is all an issue of endurance. You know, and I cried out in the past 12 days, I cried out to Lisa in a journal message, or rather in a recording that I sent to her, where I was telling her that I had been reading in Lamentations chapter 3, which is just the most relatable suffering of a prophet that I've can find in the scripture, where Jeremiah just really puts it out there about how he has suffered so horribly. And God has just ripped into pieces. And I read that and I find such comfort in it. And I really read it in depth. I read the commentaries on it about him being walled in a prison and he can't escape. Pictures of a traveler who gets stopped and can't move on. The commentaries writers talk about it. And I'm looking at this going, this is totally me. I'm stopped. I'm walled in. God has blocked my way. And I told Lisa that I've gotten to a place where I can't understand why God is allowing me to suffer for so long. That I have all the understandings of the suffering of Christ, the Garden of Gethsemane moments, the taking up the cross, the denying myself, the losing your life to find it, participating in his suffering so that you'll participate in his glory. But I am struggling to find meaning out of, even after I know that I have a prophetic call in my life, why the need, even after I've been crushed to the point where I'll do anything Father asks me, where I'm free of the love of anything in this world, as far as I can tell, and how I'm willing to lose friends, I'm willing to lose ministry, I'm willing to lose dignity, I'm willing to be separated from my wife, I'm willing to lose, you know, my 5 biological children, well, 4. I'm willing to do anything to serve God, to be thought of as anything, to be persecuted like no one's business. I'm willing. And so why the need is, why is it still so hard? And I've a few times encouraged myself, you know, it's the darkest before dawn. One writer wrote that sometimes the hardest thing about receiving great blessings from God is holding on the last half hour. And that God often paves the road to his greatest blessings with death. I've read these in Streams in the Desert just in the last few weeks. And, you know, the only alternative to desperate faith is despair. But desperate faith holds on and prevails. And we have been holding on. We have been holding on and holding on and holding on and holding on and holding on. And nothing breaks. And Lisa said it best. She said, honey, our life looks like a curse. If this was in our hearts, then I would know that we're cursed of God and that we are not who we think we are. And God is not feeling the way about us like we believe he's feeling the way about us. And we are not righteous in him like we think we are righteous. And we are not servants of the Lord like we think we are servants of the Lord. If it was not for the incredible grace, God help me in Jesus' name to capture all these things that is continually in our hearts, not in those moments where we're pushed, 2 Corinthians verse, chapter 1, verse 8, far beyond our ability to endure, such that we despair of life, feeling the sentence of death in our hearts. This happened that we not rely on ourselves, but that we might rely on God who raises the dead.
If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Let us remember that today. There'll be times when we say, why in the world are we doing this? This is too hard. There's people probably laughing and cutting up and having such a gay old time. Just right across, right over there, right over across this rocks in the ledge. And here I am slugging my way. I'm feeling the pain, brothers and sisters. This is not an act. This is very difficult. This is very difficult. I have I'm getting pretty close to 9,000 feet. So the air up here just continues to get thinner. I feel it in my legs. My calves are burning. There's a lot of calf work going up on your toes because the incline is so steep and it burns. It's just like in the Christian life. So what do I do? Well, I have to persevere, but sometimes I have to do what I'm going to show you in the next stage. Okay, let me go a little farther and we'll get to that one.
My dear brother or sister in Christ, please don't go anywhere yet. I have something I believe to be a very special blessing, I hope, for multiple of you that are following. But I know this is for somebody. While I was making this particular episode, I got led to a passage of scripture by God's providence. He pointed the passage out to me. I told Lisa immediately. I said, I believe God is giving me this passage of scripture for our brothers and sisters who are persevering, who are walking through terrible suffering and can barely see if any light at the end of the tunnel. Brothers and sisters, the Word of God, alive and active. I want to tell you before I show you this verse, it's about to come up on your screen. God so lovingly, so beautifully sent me to this passage for Lisa and I so many times along the way. This was a verse, a living word of God. Think of the beginning of this video, that if we are comforted, it is for your comfort. And that just as you have shared in our sufferings, you will also share in our comforts. Somebody needs to get excited. You need to know and be filled with joy. You have a God, Romans 4:17, who calls things that are not as though they are. He gives life to the dead. And this is a living word that will bring life from death to somebody. And you need to have hope, and you need to hold on to this exactly like Lisa and I did. Look at this word that God has told me to tell you. Isaiah 35, verse 3 and 4. This is God telling me for you to strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, and I'm going to say it to you personally right now, you know who you are. Have faith and believe this. Be strong. Do not fear. Your God will come. Even though it doesn't look like it, even though you've been crying out to him, calling out to him, your God is telling me, my God, he's telling me he is going to come for you. He's going to come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Brothers and sisters, this is a living word of God for a few people. You need to receive this by faith. You need to believe it and hold on to it, even when Satan comes and says, ah, this is for somebody else. This isn't for you. Or when circumstances get even darker, or reverse even further, or contradict the promise even more. You hold on to this. You know who you are. Grab a hold of this. Believe it. It's a living word of God. For those who have faith, God, just as I'm getting ready to finish this video, reminds me of it. Reminding me, don't close that video until you tell them what I've told you to tell them. This is a living word from a loving Father who loves you. There's life in this word. There's power in this word. You can anchor in this word, no matter how dark you are having it now. Light will come. Life will again be brighter than noonday sun. Please remember, I'm speaking this to you as someone who was once walking in the midst of death, who once received this promise from God and saw it come to pass. Did any of you remember seeing the video, The Lord is Just? Look at this verse, your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. Have you seen the video that Lisa and I put up when we were in Tahoe about The Lord is Just? And what he did to strike those who had so mercilessly been striking me. Brothers and sisters, this is a living word of God. Believe it and receive it by faith. Father, my Father, thank you so much for this living word that will give life, that's giving life to your beloved child right now who so desperately needs to hear this or be reminded of this. Thank you for this living Rhema word. My God, a fountain that flows from heaven. May this beautiful word feed and nourish and replenish and satiate this hurting heart. Lord, my God, may they hold on to it with everything they have, having believed in you, believed for you, waited for you, trusted in you, cried out to you for so long. Oh my God, what a thorough and deep work you have done in that heart. It's been painful. It's been long. The suffering has been acute. Satan has been there whispering, give up. Your God has forsaken you. And here you come today, Lord, like you've done for Lisa and I so many times, coming and standing beside us, reminding us of your presence, that you are with us, that in the storm, you are there, and just as you came walking on the water to the disciples, you come now walking on the stormy seas in the life of this believer to say, peace, be still. It is I. Do not be afraid. Say to those with fearful hearts, which I'm saying again to you, my dear brother and or sister, be strong. Do not fear. Your God is our God. Our God is your God. And your God will come just like he came for us. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Thank you, my dear Abba, for this living word, for your beloved child. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, I give you thanks for being an ever-present help in times of trouble and being the one who has the words that lead to eternal life. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray, my dear brother or sister in Christ, you receive this word, hold on to it in your heart, stand firm on it. It will be to you according to your faith. God bless you mightily in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
You're on a path to fullness in Christ. It is the highest pleasure he has to see you and I conformed into his image, to see you and I live by faith. This is real. These parables that Jesus gave us, this parable of this climbing the mountain, he had me do this for a reason. It's real. Jesus' grace is real. Faith is real. Mountaintop faith is real. Mountain moving faith is real. Sanctification is real. Being cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ from all sin is real. Being a slave to righteousness is real. Moving out of Romans 7 into Romans 8, living a life of the law of the Spirit in love is real. These things are all real, brothers and sisters, but we have to perceive that they are there by faith, and we have to go after them and believe that they are real. This is faith, being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see.